care to waste it on strangers?"
"I will be brief," answered the stranger, taking a ring from his pocket. "This is your son's ring. You recognize it? Well then, he is dying, and wishes to see you before he says farewell to this world. You'll excuse me, but I think we have not much time to lose. He was well on the road when I left him." "My son, dying," murmured the umbrella mender as though to himself. "And dying, he turns to me. I am glad of that." "I am ready," he said to the artist. He took his hat from the peg, and together with the stranger passed out of the shop. "You are my son's friend, no doubt?" he asked. "No," replied the other curtly. "I'm low enough, but I've not sunk to that degradation yet." "Do you refer to his personal character, or to his father's profession?" asked the umbrella mender fiercely. "I've nothing against his father's profession," answered the stranger. "For my part, I should think it is much better fun having umbrellas to mend than having no pictures to paint. You get bread and cheese on the one, but you starve on the other. Then you die and go to hell, and not a soul cares." Then there was silence between them, and the snow fell fast and thick. "I suppose you loved your son once," the stranger said after a pause. "I have always loved my son," the umbrella mender answered. "I wonder he did not turn out a better man, if he had someone to care for him. That ought to make such a difference to a fellow," said the stranger sadly. "You are hard on the dying," said the umbrella mender. "I hate your son," muttered the stranger. "I hate him. He has come between me and all my chances of success and happiness. And when he is dead, I shall have to go after him, for it was my hand that struck him down." Mr. Crocker started back. "Your hand?" he cried. "And you dare to tell me this?" "Why not?" asked the other coolly. "I don't value my life at a brass farthing. We've got to die, and it really does not matter much whether we die on the gallows or on a feather bed. We have only a few steps to go now. We cross the road and turn down that narrow street opposite. I beg of you to take my arm, sir. The roads are slippery and you may fall." The umbrella mender shook off the stranger's arm. "Don't touch me," he said with a shudder. "I can understand you are naturally annoyed with me," replied the other. "It would be too absurd to suppose that a man would be friends with a stranger who has murdered his son. Follow me now." They had arrived at a wretched house. The door was opened by a little girl, who slunk away immediately. They groped their way up some rickety stairs and went into a darkened room. The artist struck a match and lit a candle and held it over the bed. "Your son is still alive," he whispered to the umbrella mender. "I am glad we are not too late. I feared we should just miss him." Then he closed the door gently, leaving the umbrella mender bending over his son. "Marius," the father whispered, as he took his son's hand and kissed it tenderly. "Marius, you know me." The dying man looked up. "Dad," he murmured, "I've not been much of a credit to you, poor Dad. And you hoped for so much from me. Well, it's too late now. But just kneel down, Dad, and let my head rest on your arm. Just like that." And he died with a peaceful smile on his face. He had been nothing but a sorrow to his father, nothing but a shame. His short life had been crowded with crimes of every description, except murder. He did not understand anything about affection, or gratitude, or honour. But all the same, he died with a peaceful smile on his face, his head resting childlike on his father's arm. Half an hour afterwards, the artist came back into the room and found the umbrella mender kneeling by the bedside. The candle had burned very low, and the fire sent forth but a feeble flicker.